Hello, thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Anna Loder from readabook.com.au. I'm a lifelong reader and book lover and a long-time book club member. 15 years, I can't believe it. I've been a bookseller for 13 and now I'm a reviewer and blogger. This is a weekly podcast celebrating that love of books and reading. I'm so excited to be in your ears today. Before we get started, can I quickly pay my respects to the Dharawal people of the Eora Nation, the traditional custodians of the land on which I work, play, read and live on. Along with the traditional owners of the lands throughout Australia, I pay my respects to the elders past, present and emerging. Let's get started. I got to read Jane Tara's Tilda is Visible over the Christmas break, and goodness me, it's April now and I still haven't stopped thinking about it. This was such a good book. Our Wandering Women book club are doing it at the moment, and I've had a few ladies say that it's not for them because of the magical realism, like her, when we first meet Tilda, her finger is gone invisible. She can still feel it, she just can't see it. But oh gosh, it is just, it's a book I think that everybody should read. I absolutely think about it every day, I think. So I cannot wait to talk with Jane Tara today. I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm absolutely stoked that my pearl did not get in the way of me asking Jane for an interview, because this is going to be fantastic. Couldn't be looking forward to it more. Hello. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this. I promise I will not take any of your time up.
Now, stop apologizing.
I know.
And all that, because you are an amazing champion of my book, of all books, and take as much time as you want.
Oh, thank you. You have no idea how much I had to psych up to ask you, Jane. Thank you so much.
It's an absolute honor.
Get out of town. I was kicking myself for not asking you over Christmas, but I love Tilda.
This is what it's about. It's about having conversations. And I think some people have gone, oh, I didn't want to ask because there's only 10 people in the book club, or there's only, it's like, what do you think Tilda's about? It's about.
I know. I had to have a good, strong talk with myself.
Yeah, right. Yeah, with Pearl. Exactly. With Pearl. Your inner term.
Completely.
Yeah, you've got to sit her down and go, listen, claim right. Your space.
In all I can do is ask. Jane can say no.
No, well, it's not going to happen. And I expect to ask me for any other books that come out too.
Yay. Well, that is one of my questions. How do you follow up Tilda? What is next? But anyway, we'll talk about Tilda first.
Okay, all right.
Obviously, you got the idea because women of a certain age, and I think that certain age might be over 20, really. But how did you get the idea for this book? It's like nothing I've ever read before.
Yeah, look, I think it was a whole kind of series of events that led to it. But the very first one was a misdiagnosis of a degenerative eye condition. And I have a very unusual pigmentation in my retina. And anyway, when this was first discovered through it, we ended up with schmancy new machines in optometrist's office.
Woohoo!
You know, and this was picked up for the first time probably. And anyway, I was diagnosed with this condition and I was referred to the Centre for Eye Health, which is funded by the Guide Dog Association, but I couldn't get into this appointment for 3 months. So for this 3 months, there was this potential, you know, that I was going to lose my sight. And so I started to question, what does it mean to see? Well, first of all, I went down the rabbit hole trying to work out how I would even, you know, what my life would look like with this condition, retinitis pigmentosa, which Patrick has in the book. But then I went down a rabbit hole of, what does it mean to see? I've always been into, you know, sort of new age stuff, metaphysics, spirituality. So
I think Cheryl calls it woo-woo.
Yeah, woo-woo, you know. So went right down that rabbit hole. Like, what actually does it even mean to see? And during that time, I was looking in the mirror one day, and what had always been an exercise in self-loathing for me, looking in the mirror and going, wrinkles and freckles and all the rest, I suddenly had a complete shift in the way that I saw myself in that moment. And I thought, oh my God, am I not going to get to see age across my face? Am I not going to get to see myself age? And the process of that happened on my body. And I felt like I'd lost a great gift. So fortunately for me, it was a misdiagnosis, but I'd had this period of time where things had really shifted for me. So that was, I was 45 and I'm 55 now. So it took 10 years to write this. And I had to go through other things and other sort of versions of invisibility, and also some self-healing myself of, I guess, childhood trauma, which was coming home to roost. And I'd tried a lot of things over decades, but the most effective thing for me was this meditation style that also had neuroplasticity in it, where you really become the observer of your internal programs and then you rewire. And that has completely changed. It completely changed me. And when you change, your life changes. So yeah, I think so many people wait for the external stuff to change, thinking that's going to change them. But the external stuff will never change until you change. And then your world automatically changes as a result. So I had some very big personal things happen and really addressed that with meditation. I just committed to it 110% and came out the other end of it going, well, I really want to write about getting older, about invisibility, about how we see ourselves, about healing, but I didn't want to write a self-help book. You know, I'm not a self-development teacher or anything, but I think that each person who heals themselves can be a beacon of light for other people. And I personally think that the best way for people to learn something is to entertain them.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
So I thought, okay, well, I'll write what I would really love to read, which is an entertaining story, but that has these kind of self-help themes in it. So people can read it just as women's fiction, or they can take the journey that Tilda went on and maybe incorporate some of that into their own life.
Oh, I just think Tilda is Visible is just such a unique book. When I sold it to the Wandering Women as our next book that we're doing for April, I said it's kind of like what I expected Eat, Pray, Love to be, but it's not though. It's like nothing I've ever read before.
I think Eat, Pray, Love, when it came out, was like nothing anyone had ever
read before.
And it was about someone taking that time and to go on a journey and to heal, I guess. So it does definitely have elements in there. And although mine is fiction, definitely has elements of me in there as well.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, it was so cool. It felt like I was sitting with a group of friends all the way through. Like, it was such an entertaining read. I felt like I knew all of her friends. I knew her daughters. These are my friends now. And I love women.
I'm very blessed to have a wonderful circle of female friends. Some of them, I actually had dinner with one last night, and we've known each other since we were six. So I've got lifelong friends, and I think women supporting other women, that's the marrow of life. You know?
Absolutely. When you've got it, you're just so lucky to have it. Hey, yeah.
And so when I know people who have read Tilda who know me and know my friends, and they go, oh, yeah, Lethea, and oh, yeah, I recognize this person. And so I put sort of elements of my friends in there. And in fact, one of my besties, elements of her in Carol. And she's like, what? I'm Carol. I said, no, just parts of it, you know. Some humor, you know.
Yeah. Well, I loved Carol. But I think it's also really telling that you had Tilda. She's having a great life. She's got lifelong friends. She's got a business that makes inspirational quotes. Like, she's almost living the dream, yet she still is disappearing. I really resonated with that. I thought that was just so, thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Well, I think that, so when I first started writing it, and I was quite a bit into it. I might have even been close to halfway. And Tilda was struggling financially, like a lot of women who, you know, who are divorced and straight. But I made the choice about halfway through. I thought, no, that's not going to be her struggle. I'm going to go back. And I kind of rewrote that part to make sure that she was comfortable, that she'd, you know, made that happen herself through her own business. So she really built up her own sort of financial stability. And there was a sacrifice that she'd made there with her own creativity. So that was a choice that I went back and did. And I thought, because so many people, look, you can have all the foundational things set up in your life and something can still come and trip you up completely. And that's the point of it. Her struggle is not that she's struggling in her life, but that she's just got on with it. And so many of us do that. Something happens and it needs, we need to go further back in our lives to address what is happening now.
I think Tilda Is Visible is a book for everybody to read at every stage of life. I got so much out of it. I was going to say I got so much out of her, so much out of the friendship, but so much out of the book.
I want it to feel like that too. Yeah. I want it to feel like you're with friends. And I love writing sort of about communities where people feel like they'd like to hang out.
Mm.
So that can sort of be geographical, but as well it's the people around there. So keep wanting to return to the pages, because within the pages, entertain, but try and put something else there that maybe people can take away from it, because everyone has their struggles. Everyone has their past traumas and their past hurt, and we can all do with being a little kinder to ourselves.
Yeah.
Which I, hope is one of the key messages.
Oh, the keyest of key messages. Yeah, for sure.
So what are you doing since reading it? Are you finding that you're being kinder to yourself?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I think because I read it and thought, oh man, that would be really horrible to have such a bitch face of a pearl. Like, wouldn't that be hard? Gee, I'm lucky not to have that. And then I think I told you I was going to put the picture up when I accosted you in your Christmas shopping.
Yes.
At Dimmicks. And I took a really ugly picture. You looked lovely. I looked terrible. And I thought, like, oh, I can't put that up. That looks like I looked hideous. I looked horrible. I looked at it again. I thought, oh my God, my pearl is an absolute bitch. Yes. What I look like is I'm stoked to have seen you. I'm stoked to have got my book with me so I can get it signed. I'm absolutely beside myself to be able to tell you how much I enjoyed it. Like, that's what's on my face. Oh.
Yeah, but the other thing is also, see, because I'm really critical of photos. Like, that initial thing, I'll criticize. But then I tell Pearl, okay, yeah, all right. So maybe I look like resting bitch face at the moment, sort of in that photo or whatever. But if you show me that photo in 10 years, when I have an extra, if I'm lucky enough to have an extra,
you have had an extra 10
years, I will look at that photo of the Jane who's 10 years younger and go, wasn't I lovely? Oh, look, what a lovely photo of me. And this is what I say to young women who use face filters and are constantly erasing and touching up photos. I'm like, don't do it. Got to be able to look back at yourself and see yourself for who you were at that age.
Yeah.
Authentically, and enjoy that. Enjoy the process of getting old.
Absolutely. Yeah. And nobody looks at you the same way that you look at you either. It's the most ridiculous thing to be self-conscious of. Nobody's looking at you that closely.
No, that's right, because everyone's got their own program.
Absolutely.
Everyone's got their own insecurities, their own stress. They're all kind of worried about how they're looking or whatever. So actually just taking the time to sort of recognize that, oh, everyone feels like I do.
Yeah. Completely.
But I would never speak to you the way that you speak to yourself.
I would never speak to a stranger the way that I speak to myself. And I think that was very telling as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm the same, but I was asked this question yesterday, actually, if my programs have completed, and I say my programs have changed, not completely, but they've changed, because Pearl can be really, remember, Pearl's just a recording,
mm-hmm.
and value tags information that she deems relevant based on your continual experience. So if you start to feed her positive, just like AI in your head, she will start to feed you that back. So I've got little post-it notes around the house that have been there for years, sort of gratitude or say this or say that. It's always it's a cue to say something to myself. Now I don't really use them anymore. They're still there, but I don't use them anymore, because Pearl will now say nice things to me. Not if I'm tired and really stressed, but generally I have a loop that is much kinder going on, and that
yeah
changes my life. Yeah.
But it's completely telling, isn't it? Like, it really is just, she's such a bitch, but it's really telling that she can be positive just as much as she can be a bitch.
That's right. And the other thing is that she's frightened. So this is where you can be a little bit kind with your internal voice, because your internal voice will tell you things to keep where you are right now, because for you to stand up and go, no, I'm going to change this. You know, there is a real discomfort in change. None of us like change. Even those people go, I like change. Like, realistically, none of us like this real deep internal change. So we step into the discomfort zone, and she tries to keep us back in the comfort zone. It's not really comfortable to have someone be that, you know, on a loop in your head, to be that mean to yourself.
Yeah, right.
But it's familiar.
Yeah, it's the devil that you know, isn't it? Yeah.
So we stay with the familiar rather than step out of that into, you know, doing the work just to change the loops in our head. Mm. And that is pretty much the process that Tilda goes through. She goes through this discomfort and really, and we can all do it.
Yeah. Well, that's what I loved so much about Tilda's. And she didn't go off to Italy for 6 months. And this she did all from her own home. This is something that she just did quietly, internally. She still held down a job. She still held down a family. I love that she was just like me, just so every day.
And it was me. That's what I did. I was a single mom working full time and doing this as, I guess it was like, you know, having a hobby. My hobby was meditating, researching neuroplasticity, and just getting deeper and deeper into how to change myself and change my perception of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And at times it was really, really hard work. It was always juggled in between, you know, my normal busy life at home. Mm-hmm. But at some stage, I'll tell you, actually, the first time I realized a real shift was I was standing in my kitchen, looking out the kitchen window, making my morning coffee. And I thought, is there something wrong with me? Like, there'd been a change for a few weeks and it sort of crept up on me. And I thought, you know, is there pressed? Like, is this what depression feels like? And I'm making my coffee, and it's like I put down the coffee spoon that I had in my hand, and I went, oh my God, I'm content.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't know what contentment felt like, but I'd been doing this. So, you know, everyone's like chasing happiness. It's like, you know, I got to a point where I had maintained this level of contentment for like a few weeks that was very unfamiliar. I'd never experienced that before. And I went, oh my, that's this new thing that I feel, this new state, a new state that I'm in. And from there, I kind of started to level up into this feeling of the meditation, and all the stuff I was doing was, it was an adventure, actually. I felt like I was on an adventure.
Yeah. Oh, you've described it so well. Thank you. Now, we haven't talked about the romance at all, but I would love to, because Patrick is a honey.
Yeah.
That was such fun reading, and it was just so nice to see Tilda swept off her feet kind of thing. I loved Patrick, and thank you very much for including him.
Yes, well, I loved Patrick too, and someone recently said to me, you know, something about writing the perfect man, and I went, well, why wouldn't I? Like, if I'm going to spend time writing about a guy, and I was single at the time, so I was like, oh yeah, let's bring this on, you know. So
it's pretty perfect.
I thought it was a way of kind of manifesting someone into my life. But, and you know, if I wrote about their relationship a few years down the track, he wouldn't be that perfect either.
Yeah.
But I think he's an example to me of a man who is doing the work. So he's done his own personal work on himself and is ready to meet someone and have a good, healthy relationship with
him. For sure.
And so that's what I was trying to portray with Patrick. But yeah, it's interesting that so many, because he is sight impaired as well, I was like, you know, how are women going to respond to this? And now everyone wants their own Patrick. So
yeah. Oh, he was just perfect.
I'm glad you liked him.
Completely. Oh, but so what type of a tour are you doing? I don't know that you've got the time to be doing much at all. I think you had a combined birthday party dash launch.
Yes. So I did. So I've already done a trip up the coast, and I did that with my mum. She came down with my
mum. Oh, that's perfect.
I went up with mum. So that was nice. And I have a sort of events coming up. I go to Brisbane for an event, and I've got a few different events and festivals that I've been invited to. And there's just something, well, every weekend in May, but after that, probably twice a month until the end of the year. So that is, it's maintaining some momentum, and it's good. Yeah.
You'll be right to be touring for the rest of your days, I think, Jane.
Well, I'm still waiting to hear, but it is being published in America on February 25th. So I'm still waiting to hear if I'll be going over for that as well. So,
wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so exciting.
Yeah. So got picked up there, Germany, Italy. Yeah. So just, Tilda in different languages. I love it.
Yeah. So will they keep her Australian-ness? Yes. Are they? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. They are, which is great. I was published in America about 20 years ago. I had a couple of paranormal romances published over there. And the first one I'd set in Australia, and I had to rewrite it and set it in America. But since then, there's been such success with Jane Harper, Liane Moriarty, all of those kind of early authors who cracked the American market with Australian stories. They didn't have to write and set it there. And it has just opened up the market completely and utterly now that we don't have to change the location of our Australian stories. So it is being re-edited for the American market, and a few changes in that, in language, but Tilda is Australian.
Yeah. Because she is. Tilda and her friends and her daughters. Like, Tilda is Australian, isn't she?
Yeah, so they really like that, and which is wonderful, actually. Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. That's so cool. And so are you getting many book clubs? Because I think for me, Tilda is very much a book club book. This is one that you want your girlfriends to read. This is one that you want your sisters to read. Everybody to read. Dave is not a reader, so he's waiting for the movie.
Yeah. Well, maybe. There's fingers crossed for that one. Yeah. Yes, I went on an event yesterday, which is a walking book club, actually.
Oh, that's so cool.
From Meetup, and they all meet once a month and talk about a book and walk. And
as they're walking?
So, yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then, fantastic.
And then we stopped at a pub in Balmain and just had a bite to eat. And that was, I think, 15 women and one guy. And it was actually the guy who reached out to me because he'd read it and loved it. So I went on that. I've got a few book club invitations and I agree with you. It's a great book for just women to walk.
Yeah.
Themselves and their, are they kind to themselves? And the themes and everything lend themselves well to a book club.
Absolutely. And just things like, I think I got my last wolf whistle when I was about 21-ish. And I remember walking past.
I just don't think you're listening. Yeah, you don't want it, but then you're kind of sort of, there's a currency in, I don't know. You,
which I think that invisibility covers so well. Yeah. Yeah. And you, of course you don't want it, but you still want to be seen and desired and all of that.
That's right. But I do think that, so those things aside, I think that quite often it happens in tandem with kind of an invisibility at home. Like often they're, you're juggling so much and maybe you've been married for ages and they're just not paying attention to you and it's kind of same old every day. And the woman who's in her 40s, it usually starts in your 40s and perimenopause hits and you're juggling all that stuff and all the hormones are going. And then you go, oh, no one's even paying attention to me. I'm giving myself to everyone in this bloody family. Can someone see me?
Yeah.
Or hear me? Yeah.
Oh, wonderful, Jane. Thank you so much. I could not appreciate you enough.
Well, I can't appreciate you enough. Thank you so much for asking me on. I'm always happy to chat to you, Anna. So thank you.
Yay. Okay, so that's it for this conversation. Thank you so much for joining me. Please leave a review wherever you can, but especially where you found my Read a Book podcast. If you'd like more connection, please head on over to thereadabook.com.au. There's plenty of book reviews and recommendations there. And that's also where you'll find my blog. And I would love, love, love to welcome you into our community. There's a membership page on readabook.com.au. There are 3 levels. The first is free, and I'm so hoping that you would like to help me build my online community where we can enjoy reading more together. Thank you.